Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff here. I wanted to read to you from 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse 8. The Apostle Peter says this, "Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. But resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brothers and sisters who are in the world. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be dominion forever and ever. Amen." Well, this week on American Family Radio, we are having the Orange Letter Campaign. And you say, what is the Orange Letter Campaign? Well, the Orange Letter Campaign, it all began February 15th, 2015, when ISIS released a video of 21 Egyptian Coptic Christians in orange jumpsuits being martyred on a Libyan beach. And we were all gripped by the reality of persecution that Christians face all around the world. And so American Family Radio launched the Orange Letter Campaign, asking for letters of encouragement and prayer to be sent to Christians suffering for the name of Jesus Christ around the world. And to tell us about this campaign, we have AFR's own Cedra Sartin, and she is involved in the Orange Letter Campaign and kind of heading this up. So, Cedra, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, well, tell us a little more about the Orange Letter Campaign and how that works at American Family Radio.
Well, it's super simple. Each year, we give the listeners an opportunity to reach out to their fellow sisters and brothers in Christ and let them know that they are not alone, that their Christian sisters and brothers around the world have not forgotten them. And so our listeners each year get to send in letters to people from different countries. Each year we focus on a different country. And we allow you to send letters of just words of encouragement and prayer to them.
And these are actual handwritten letters. This isn't an email. Well,
this is an online campaign. So okay, if you go online to afr.net/OLC, there will be a form there that the listeners will be able to fill out, and it'll have a place for them to put their letter. And when you submit that, we're able to take it and we give those to our friends at Global Outreach International, and they take those letters and give them to the Christians on the field. And this year's focus is Russia. So right now, our sisters and brothers in Russia, they're suffering from persecution, and obviously Russia does, I mean, state that they are openly religious tolerant, but that's not always the case. So they are able to say certain things, but they have to find different ways to minister, because saying something that maybe their government does not accept or does not like can result in them being detained, things like that.
Okay, so Cedra, how does it work for the person? When they write a letter, what do they need to include in that?
I mean, if you're like me, I'm not the most eloquent when it comes to words on paper. So these Christians, they don't need anything. You don't have to write a book for them. Just a short, simple message that says, "I love you, I have not forgotten you, and that I am praying for you every day," is all that they need. So if you can include things like that, scriptures that mean a lot to you, things that have gotten you through hard times as well, just include just a short message. 200 words or less is what we're asking for.
Okay, so it's short. Mm-hmm. And then praying for these people. And so I think it's very important when you write this that you pray over that, because God knows who that's going to go to. You don't know specifically who it goes to, but God does. And you very well could, as you pray through writing this, you could say something or refer them to a verse of scripture that's exactly what that person needs at that time, because God is the master of putting all that together. And so, Cedra, tell me, how exactly does it get to the person?
Well, our friends at Global Outreach, they have missionaries all over the world, and so they are able to I believe, digitally send the letters, far as I know. We make sure that our friends at Global get that, and then they're able to get it to their missionaries who are able to share it with the Christians that are on the ground in their area.
And how many years has American Family Radio been doing this?
We began in 2016. So if I'm doing math, about 8 years.
Yeah. Yes. And what kind of feedback have we gotten?
We've actually gotten to speak with a few Christians that have gotten it. Of course, it's not always possible to do that because some live in such dangerous areas. But they say that it means the world to them just to know that they are being prayed for. They believe in prayer just like we do and the power of it, and to know that their sisters and brothers are praying for them means a lot to them.
Amen. So this is a campaign. You know, Christians lots of times think, well, what can I do to make a difference, especially around the world? Well, this is something that's very doable, and it does make a difference. And God can use you, young or old. He can use you. And if Cedra, you said yourself, you're not necessarily great with writing and things like that, but you don't have to be. It's 200 words. That's not very long, and that's, you know, a verse of scripture or a couple of verses there that are very important to you and very encouraging, and maybe a little bit about yourself and your family. That can go a long way. And so, Cedra, have you heard back from people that have done this over the years and the blessing that they have received by participating?
Oh, yes. And we have people here locally, the AFA employees that have spent time. They do it with their families. And they really see it as an opportunity to teach their children how to reach out, how to minister, how to love, how to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And we've had schools do it as an activity with their classrooms and things like that. And so it's a good opportunity.
Amen. Amen. So if you go to, you can just go to AFR.net and it's on the homepage. Boom, it's right there. Orange Letter Campaign. And you can do it all online. And it's something that shouldn't take a long period of time to do it, but it will make a difference. And God will use you in doing this. So
absolutely.
Cedra, any last closing comments about this?
Yes. When you do send in your information, you will receive a small token. Nothing big. There's a few stickers and a magnet that we hope that you'll put up on your fridge or somewhere where you'll see it every day. And you'll take that and you'll look at it and you'll remember your sisters and brothers in Russia and spend time praying for them.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, Cedra. I appreciate you coming on the program. And I'm excited about this for our listeners. The Orange Letter Campaign at American Family Radio. Go to AFR.net and you can do everything online on the website. And just know that God will use you. You know, the scripture says, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now, we all have different spiritual gifts, but this is something, regardless of your spiritual gift, that you can get involved in. You can get your kids involved in this and to make a difference in the lives of your brothers and sisters that we don't know from another country, from Russia, but that are experiencing persecution and difficulty for being a Christian. We don't experience that to the same level, although it's coming to a theater near you, as I like to say, because we're seeing more and more persecution in America, but not to the level that they're seeing it in these other countries, and especially in communist Russia. So, Cedra, thank you for coming on today, and God bless you, and may God use this this Orange Letter Campaign this year to really make a difference.
Okay, thank you for having me on.
Thank you. Well, when we think about persecution, the Bible says that all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Persecution, when it says that in 2 Timothy, that means that they're going to pursue you. They're going to come after you. Sometimes we think persecution is, they're going to chop off your little finger, and that is part of persecution, but the word there in Greek means to pursue. And that's what Jesus, he had them coming after him constantly in his ministry. The religious leaders were coming after him, following after him, asking him questions, trying to trap him. Obviously, it ended in his crucifixion, the ultimate persecution. But, you know, we have things in America where people will come after us. You can have trolls on social media. I'm amazed when I look at Jenna Ellis's Twitter or X feed and how many people she has just coming after her. It's like, good night. She stands up for things and people don't like it. And so we talked yesterday about the He Gets Us commercial at the Super Bowl, and you know, showing Jesus didn't teach hate, he washed feet. And we're trying to present a kinder, gentler Jesus, a kinder, gentler Christian. They didn't crucify Jesus for washing feet, and he only did that once, and he did that on the night he was betrayed, and he washed his disciples' feet. They kind of present it like, you know, Jesus went everywhere. He wasn't preaching the gospel. He wasn't calling people out about their sin and their need for repentance. He was just coming with a wash basin, washing everybody's feet. Well, that's not what he did. And the world hated him because he is the light of the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds are evil. And so Jesus said, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. And why does the world hate Jesus, who is love incarnate? Because he testified against it that its deeds were evil. Now, the He Gets Us campaign, I did go online and see what was being said about He Gets Us on social media, on X, and so... They try to present this middle of the road, this kinder, gentler Jesus. And what happens to the ones they're trying to reach? They say, well, these people, we did research on them, and they're haters. They give to organizations that are anti-abortion, and they are against transgenderism and all these things. And so then they are up in arms on social media. How dare these people? They're not washing feet. They're haters. They're condemning. Jesus didn't teach hate, but they're all about hate. Listen, if Jesus were walking the earth today, and he's in heaven, he's seated at the right hand of heaven, he is doing his work through his church, through those who belong to him, because he has put his spirit in us. But if Jesus were in his body, in his flesh, walking the earth today, the world would hate him and would come after him to crucify him and destroy him, just like they did when he walked the earth in the first century. Why? Because the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. People don't like to be told that they're sinners in need of a savior. And when you tell them that, they're going to come after you. They're going to try and silence you. They're going to try and hurt you. They're going to try and shut you up. And if that means to imprison you or to impoverish you or to kill you and kill your family, so be it. How dare you not knuckle under to what we say and not come along and be part of the world? You know, we call out the world. And Jesus said, you know, if you were of the world would love its own. But because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. We are salt and light in a lost and dying world. And when the light is shown in the darkness and exposes the deeds of darkness, people don't like that. Shut that light off. And we can't shut the light off. We have to tell people the truth. We speak the truth in love, and people get mad at the truth. Jesus is full of grace and truth. You can't have a one-sided Jesus. You can't just have this big, mushy, grandfatherly, turn a blind eye to all your sin kind of God. He's not like that. He's too pure to look upon evil, and he hates sin. And if God did not spare his son when he bore the sin of the world, if he didn't spare his son when he had the sin upon him, he won't spare you. when there is sin found in you. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and we're up against a break, but we'll be right back. Don't go away.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking about the issue of persecution. We have a campaign, the Orange Letter campaign, going on this week at American Family Radio to encourage Christians in Russia to keep going, to keep standing strong for the Lord. And, you know, persecution is something that we in America have read about and we know about from other countries, and we read about the persecution that took place in biblical times during the New Testament times, where the apostles, all of them except John, were executed, martyred for their faith. We read about the first martyr, Stephen, in Acts chapter 7. And we know that the Sanhedrin, the religious leaders of Judaism, they hated Christianity. They hated Jesus. They were the ones that pushed for Jesus to be crucified. And they hated the preaching of Jesus. They hated the idea that they thought they were rid of Jesus when Pilate, they pushed Pilate to deliver the sentence, let him be crucified. But then Jesus rose from the dead. And then the apostles started preaching Jesus rose from the dead in power. Well, they, in Acts chapter 4, tried to silence them, speak no more in the name of Jesus. And you have these famous words from Peter and John, whether it is right in the sight of God to obey you or to obey God, you be the judge, for we cannot stop speaking what we have seen and heard. And then they go back, they let them go. In Acts chapter 4, and they go back to their home church, so to speak. They go back to the Christians, and they pray. And their prayer is significant. And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence, with all boldness, while you extend your hand to heal, and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. That's a prayer God longs to answer, because it says in Acts 4:31, right after they prayed that, and when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. They were filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, but nobody is filled with the Holy Spirit 24/7, because we still struggle with the flesh. And so we have to have the fresh filling of the Spirit. It doesn't mean we're receiving the Spirit again over and over and over. It just means that we're letting him control us. We're yielding ourselves anew and afresh to the Holy Spirit. And that's what they prayed for, boldness to speak as they ought to speak. Now, I was thinking this morning, as we were knew that we were going to be talking about persecution in the Orange Letter campaign, I was thinking about those in other parts of the world who are really persecuted in ways that we don't even understand, persecuted for their faith. Voice of the Martyrs, Richard Wurmbrand, the persecution, if you ever read his book and his wife's book, Sabina, in Romania, when Romania became a communistic country, the persecution that came against Christians. Why does communism hate Christianity? Well, communism is the brainchild of Karl Marx, and Karl Marx hated Christianity and hated religion. Religion is a mechanism of control, he said. It's controlled by the social elites to manipulate the masses. And we have strangely enough, as you can see, the history of communism and how it destroys and how it kills. You still have people today in universities and professors and students that think, well, it just hasn't been done right. If we just did socialism, communism correctly, it would be wonderful. It's never going to be wonderful. And even guys that aren't Christians, Jordan Peterson, or Ben Shapiro, they know because they're honest thinkers and they study history. They know that communism is horrible. It is terrible. Now, some of you may remember the name Phil Donahue. Phil Donahue had his Oprah Winfrey type of show before Oprah Winfrey was ever on the scene, way back when in the 80s. He was very popular in the 80s, married Marlo Thomas. And he had the economist Milton Friedman on, and Phil Donahue, the liberal, was trying to make the case for socialism. And Milton Friedman, who was nobody's dummy, he was a professor and an economist and a champion of capitalism. He really, in a nice way, put Phil Donahue in his place. So listen to this video from many decades ago.
When you see around the globe the maldistribution of wealth, the desperate plight of millions of people in underdeveloped countries, when you see so few haves and so many have-nots, when you see the greed and the concentration of power within, did you ever have a moment of doubt about capitalism and whether greed's a good idea to run on?
Well, first of all, tell me, is there some society you know that doesn't run on greed? You think Russia doesn't run on greed? You think China doesn't run on greed? What is greed? Of course, none of us are greedy. It's only the other fellow who's greedy. The world runs on individuals pursuing their separate interests. The great achievements of civilization have not come from government bureaus. Einstein didn't construct his theory under order from a bureaucrat. Henry Ford didn't revolutionize the automobile industry that way. In the only cases in which the masses have escaped from the kind of grinding poverty you're talking about, the only cases in recorded history are where they have had capitalism and largely free trade. If you want to know where the masses are worst off, it's exactly in the kinds of societies that depart from that. So that the record of history is absolutely crystal clear. That there is no alternative way so far discovered of improving the lot of the ordinary people that can hold a candle to the productive activities that are unleashed by a free enterprise system.
But it seems to reward not virtue as much as ability to manipulate the system.
And what does reward virtue? You think the communist commissar rewards virtue? You think a Hitler rewards virtue? You think, excuse me, if you'll pardon me, do you think American presidents reward virtue? Do they choose their appointees on the basis of the virtue of the people appointed or on the basis of their political clout? Is it really true that political self-interest is nobler somehow than economic self-interest? You know, I think you're taking a lot of things for granted. And just tell me, where in the world you find these angels who are going to organize society for us?
Well,
I don't even trust you to do that.
That was Milton Friedman with Phil Donahue back in the day in the 80s when they had that discussion, socialism versus capitalism. Now, if you have been keeping up with that and the voices that we hear today that have a large platform, people like a Ben Shapiro, well, and Jordan Peterson, they speak out about the evils of communism. And it is shocking to me that you have these college-age young people that think that the answer to the ills in society is to just make everything equal, just socialism where everybody gets the same. Listen, to put it in a very simplistic understanding, if you and I are in chemistry class together and you study hard for the chemistry midterm and you get a 90, I don't study at all and I get a 50. And so yours is an A, mine's an F. And the teacher said, well, that's not fair that you would get a better grade than Jeff. So we're going to take 20 points from you and give it to Jeff. So that gives him a 70 and you a 70. Now everything's equal. Well, you earned a 90 and, by your hard work and your study. Well, I earned a 50 because I didn't do anything. I didn't study and I didn't prepare. So we got what we deserved. And to take 20 points from you and give it to me, that is not fair. And once that happens and people realize, hey, you know, I can't work to get ahead, so what's the use? What's the point? It just destroys everything. And so here is a short clip from Ben Shapiro explaining why communism is so evil.
Hello, Mr. Shapiro. My name is Joey Stone. I'm from Vanden High School in Fairfield, California. I was just wondering, what are your views on Colorado's new, I guess, option to push communism at all costs?
To push?
Communism.
Communism? I'm not aware of the kind of provision that you're talking about in Colorado law. So I'd have to be familiar with what the provision is of law. Obviously, communism bad. Also evil. Also
true.
Killed 100 million people. So I'm bewildered by people. I'm bewildered by people who are romantic toward communism. It is a gift of being of growing up in a one thing that all the communists who live in America have in common is that they live in America. Yeah, move to Cuba and then tell me how wonderful communism is without being a part of the prevailing regime. It's easy for Michael Moore to talk about the glories of the Cuban healthcare system while he has his WGA card. It's a little bit different when Michael Moore, you know, would have to live there, which of course he never will. The people who are the most anti-communism in America are people who left communist countries, right, who actually lived in these places. There's such an inherent level of ingratitude in America right now, it's astonishing to me. People who were born on third base and think they hit a triple. People who live in the most prosperous, free, and wonderful country in the history of the world, bar none, not close. If you could be born any time in any place, it would be right here and right now. You're guaranteed basically 8 decades on this earth of health, wealth, and ease. And you're sitting around going, you know, it'd be better if we got rid of everything that undergirds this, and then we do stuff that's fair. And fair means what I like. It's like, well, I'm sorry, but the world did not begin spinning when you got here. The principles that you hold are not unique to you, and your wealth is not a natural part of life. People tend to just believe that this is normal, that what happens in America is normal, that the norm of human life is this. That is so not only historically ignorant, but just ignorant of contemporaneous circumstance anywhere outside the West. If people actually had the ability to take a time machine, then they might be a little bit more grateful for what it is they have here in the United States. And fortunately, there is a time machine. It's called an airplane. All you have to do is take that airplane to a third world country, and you will quickly recognize that the United States is a damned phenomenal place.
That was Ben Shapiro talking about communism and why communism is so evil. Jordan Peterson was also asked about communism on an interview, and he talks about the millions of people who have died under communist regimes, because once the communists get in power, they're going to destroy any dissenting voices.
One in five social scientists claims to be a Marxist.
How do they not understand the history? Well, why don't you fill people in on how that went bad?
Well, the estimates vary, but in the Soviet Union between 1919 and 1959, somewhere between 30 and 50 million people were killed in internal oppression alone. So that's pretty bad. And then in China, which was operating under exactly the same principles, it might have been up to 100 million killed during Mao's time. And of course, Mao is still revered in China, appallingly enough. And Vietnam and Cambodia, and wherever these ideas were implemented, Cuba, wherever these ideas were implemented, the result was absolute mayhem, absolute mayhem.
It's a destructive force. Well, I went to China a few years ago, and you're in real small house churches in China. You can't preach on the street corner in China because they would shut you down and either take you out of the country or, worse, put you in prison or execute you. I mean, who knows what's going to happen there? So we were working with a Christian that had a ministry to college students, and they would teach them English, and then they would slowly over time get to share the gospel with them. But I was preaching at one of their little house churches. There's probably about 8 or 10 people, and I used Mao as an illustration, and they got very nervous that I would even mention his name. I was just talking about how every one of them knows about Mao, but none of them know Mao. And I was saying, you know, that's the way it is for many people. They know about God, but being a Christian is knowing God in a real and personal way. And the missionary there was a little nervous. So like, well, you better be careful what you say about Mao, because the penalty for speaking bad about Mao or speaking out against communism in China is severe. And so communism, when they take over, then people die because the dissenters die. And we're seeing the seeds of that in America with free speech being under attack. And, you know, if you stand up and you say, hey, scripture is clear. If a man lies with another man as one lies with a woman, it is an abomination. And you put that on a billboard in a busy city, and they say, that's hate speech. How dare you say that? From the book of Leviticus. No, that's hate speech. You can't say that. Jesus didn't teach hate. He washed feet. Oh, well, Jesus is the author of the Bible, and in Leviticus, that is the word of the Lord, and he tells us what is right and what is wrong. He's the author of morality, and he defines it and designed it, and this is the way life is going to be. And we don't like it. We buck against that as people who are committed to live in the darkness and create our own way. Hey, the Bible's clear. Proverbs 14:12, Proverbs 16:25. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We've been talking about persecution. We've been talking about communist persecution or Islamic persecution. Anywhere where you have a totalitarian government, there will be persecution. People left the motherland. They left England to flee to America to have religious freedom. So when we come back from the break, we'll be opening the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I'd love to hear from you as we talk about persecution, as we talk about standing firm, as we talk about being bold witnesses for Jesus in a dark and dying world. God has called us to be his witnesses. We'll be right back. According to a recent report, Planned Parenthood continues to rake in billions despite dwindling clients. The biggest takeaway here is that Planned Parenthood is generating vast profits, including millions in taxpayer funding. And preborn, that's you and me, are stealing their clientele, meaning the babies they're trying to kill. Preborn operates on a very slim budget as they rescue over 200 babies' lives every single day, and they receive no government funding. Preborn's network of clinics are situated in the darkest corners, competing head-to-head with the abortion giants, and they need our help now more than ever. When you donate $28 to Preborn, you will offer a free ultrasound to an expectant mother caught in crisis. Once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life, her baby's chances at life doubles. So please sponsor a precious baby's life. Your tax-deductible gift will go directly towards saving babies' lives, so be generous. You will never regret saving a baby's life. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, and we're talking about persecution, the Orange Letter Campaign at American Family Radio to encourage our brothers and sisters in Russia, Christians who are living in that communist country, who are experiencing persecution. And we partner with an organization that helps your electronic letter get into their hands and to encourage them. And we need to be praying and ministering to folks that are in the crosshairs of persecution. And persecution is coming to a theater near you and to near me. In the last days, difficult times will come, as the scripture says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. And what is it people are experiencing in other parts of the world, that is going to come to America. We get canceled for saying certain things. We can have people smear us. us, in social media or in the print or whatever. But very few of us have been arrested or, imprisoned or beaten or killed for our faith in Christ. But I think that is coming. And so 1 Peter chapter 5 tells us that your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. But resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world, by your brothers and sisters who are in the world. And then the Bible says this, and after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. It's not going to be like this forever, so we just keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. It says of him who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So we just trust that the Lord is going to deliver at the right time. And he is going to use the suffering and use the difficulty in our lives to perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Well, one of the clips I listened to this morning as I was preparing for the broadcast was another clip from Jordan Peterson talking about when communism takes over and this idea of getting everything level and taking from the rich and giving to the poor, this Robin Hood kind of mentality, and why it's so awful. And oftentimes it goes after farmers, and that has a devastating effect on everyone, and this is what he had to say.
Let me ask you about the famine of the 30s.
Yeah.
Do you think
in the Ukraine? Oh yeah, fun.
Similar, a lot of the things you mentioned in the last few sentences kind of echo to that part of human history.
The Holodomor. No one knows about.
Well, now I've just spent 4 weeks in Ukraine.
Oh, yeah.
There's different parts of the world that still, even if they don't know, they know.
Yeah, right.
They feel history runs in the blood.
The Dutch knew, in some sense. They had a famine at the end of World War II, and part of the reason the Dutch farmers are so unbelievably efficient and productive is that the Dutch swore at the end of World War II that that was not going to happen again. And then they had to scrape land out of the ocean because Holland, that's quite a country. It shouldn't even exist. The fact that it's the world's number two exporter, you know that it's the world's number two exporter of agricultural products, Holland. It's like, I don't think it's as big as Massachusetts. It's this little tiny place. It shouldn't even exist. And they want to put, here's the plan. Let's put 30% of the farmers out of business. Well, the broader ecosystem of agricultural production in Holland is 6% of their GDP. Now, these centralizing politicians think, tell me if I'm stupid about this. Take an industry. You knock it back by fiat by 30%. Now, it runs on like a 3% profit margin. Now, you're going to kill 30% of it. How are you not going to bring the whole thing down, the whole farming ecosystem down? How are you not going to impoverish the transport systems? How are you not going to demolish the grocery stores? You can't take something like that and pare it back by fiat by 30% and not kill it. I can't see how you can do that. I mean, look what we did with the COVID lockdowns. We broke the supply chains. Have you tried buying something lately? You can't, and wait, and aren't the Chinese threatening Taiwan at the moment? What are we going to do without chips? So I don't know what these people are thinking. And then I think, okay, what are they thinking? Well, the Deloitte people are thinking, aren't we smart? And shouldn't we be hired by our corporate employers? It's like, okay, too bad about the poor. What are the environmentalists thinking? We love the planet. It's like, do you? We love the poor. Do you? Okay, let's pit the planet against the poor. Who wins? The planet. Okay, you don't love the poor that much. Do you love the planet? Or do you hate capitalism? Let's pit those two things against each other. Oh, well, it turns out we actually hate capitalism. How can we tell? Because you're willing to break it. And do you know what's going to happen? So what's going to happen in Sri Lanka with these 20 million people who now have nothing to eat? Are they going to eat all the animals? Are they going to burn all the firewood? They're stockpiling firewood in Germany. It's like, so is your environmental globalist utopia going to kill the poor and destroy the planet? And that's okay, because we'll wipe out capitalism. It's like, okay.
Yeah, the dragon and the fear of the dragon drives ideologies, some of which can build a better world, some of which can destroy that world.
So that was an interview that Jordan Peterson did with Lex Friedman. And here's the thing. So, you know, God's ways, God is for freedom, to give people freedom. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. And to lock everything down, to have a totalitarian regime, whether that's a communist totalitarian regime or an Islamic totalitarian regime, people get destroyed in the process. Christianity wants freedom for people. And just as Milton Friedman, when he was having the discussion with Phil Donahue, he says, any place where you see poverty, how do you lift people out of the poverty? Give them an opportunity to succeed. You know, America was created to be the land of opportunity. Dinesh D'Souza says, he said, you know, in India, you're kind of stuck. Whatever caste system you're born into, you're there. He said, in America, you have an opportunity to make something of yourself. Rafael Cruz, Ted Cruz's father, he came to America from Cuba with nothing, and he built things, and he worked, and he studied, and he got a degree, and his son is a senator, and there is opportunity. And when the Lord's word is governing, that's when people experience blessing and freedom. Where the Lord's word is kicked out for man's word, that's when everything falls apart and people suffer the consequences. Well, the phone lines are open. If you have a question or a comment, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. This Sunday, I'm going to be preaching a message on 2 Timothy chapter 3. And one of the things that we're going to talk about is the issue of Marxism and cultural Marxism, and how the brainwashing of the young people today that have this idea that, you know, hey, we can have utopia if we just give up all our rights and give up all our freedoms and level the playing field, and we'll feel so good about ourselves. And that's just ridiculous. You know, take a trip, as Ben Shapiro said, get on an airplane and go to some of these places. Go to Venezuela, go to Cuba, go to North Korea, if you dare. It's awful there, and it's terrible for the people. And God forbid that we would just give up in America. That's why I love American Family Radio, American Family Association, because we're fighting for freedom. And we're fighting for the Constitution of the United States of America that was no doubt drafted by the help of God. And as they prayed, as Ben Franklin said, hey, we have to pray. A man who wasn't even a Christian recognized the value of prayer. And unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Psalm 127, verse 1. And he said, guys, we need to pray. And as they prayed, they came together, and America was born. And I don't know who I was listening to, somebody the other day, that just said, you know, they're coming after the Constitution of the United States of America because the social elites hate it, and they hate freedom, and they want to be in control of all things, and they want you to believe what they say. And they're pushing all this idea that, you know, Christians are haters and they're terrible and awful. And people are believing that stuff. And that's what goes back to the He Gets Us campaign. Well, we want to present to the world that, hey, you guys misunderstood us as Christians. We're nice, and we want to just wash feet. That's what Jesus did. He didn't teach hate. He just taught love. And that's what we're all about. The most loving thing that you can do for someone is to speak the truth in love, to let them know, hey, this, you're on a sinking ship. Here is the only life raft, and there's room for you. But if you stay on this ship, you're going down, down, down. And we are twice-born men living in a world of once-born men. And we are not of this world. And the world is a sinking ship. And we're calling people to turn from sin and turn to the Savior, because Jesus will save anybody who will turn from sin, who will turn to him and put his faith and trust in him. Well, we have our friend Lee on the line from Virginia. Lee, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, Pastor. I was telling your caller there, I think sometimes I taught Sunday school and was taught in Sunday school as a kid. We kind of mislead people in a sense. It's true, but it's not always true. We teach kids about Daniel and the lion's den and the three Hebrew children in a fiery furnace. And people get in their mind that God always delivers Christians. But the same book of Hebrews tells about those who were not delivered.
Right.
They wandered in caves. They wore goat skins and all. And, you know, American Christians have become so complacent that they think nothing is ever going to touch them in this country, and they don't even care enough to get out and vote. And let me tell you, a lot of times when a country goes down because of complacency, because of godliness, Christians suffer just like everybody else.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. Yeah, we have to do all we can for ourselves, our children, our grandchildren, and the next generation, because what we have in America is something special. As Ben Shapiro said, travel to another part of the world. It makes you appreciate what we have and what God has blessed us with in America. Well, Lee, thank you so much for your call. I got one more call I want to get in before the end of the program. So we have Patrick on the line from Texas. Patrick, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Brother Jeff, thank you so much. Hey, I just wanted to bring up a comment. My wife and her family were all born and raised in Ukraine, okay, former USSR. And I have had conversation with them about this a number of times because I was curious. It's not just the government down that affects and permeates all of society. It's also the society upwards into, you know, working for the government, so to speak. And here's how. If you got in a squabble over a parking space, let's just say, and now you don't want that guy to turn you in by saying that, hey, this guy said something bad about Stalin, because mm-hmm. you'll be dead. So instead, you preemptively call it in on the other guy. In the middle of the night, that guy disappears. What happens is you have a whole entire society of people where many, many, many people are guilty of murder because you're calling in on the other guy because you don't want to have somebody call in on you. And I've asked this to my family members, how many people would you say in society are guilty of murder in, you know, by proxy, if you will? And they said literally about 80 to 90% of society ends up becoming guilty of murder in one way, shape, or form or another. That's the result of communism.
Oh, wow. Wow, I hadn't even thought about that aspect of it. You know, that makes me think, Patrick, about what Jesus said in John chapter 16. There's coming a day when people will sentence you to death thinking they're serving God. They will make you outcast from the synagogue, but an hour is coming for everyone who kills you to think that he's offering service to God. And these things they will do because they have not known the Father or me. Well, how did they get, we just have another minute, how did they get out of there?
Their family was persecuted. They were all Christian, you know, so a number of them were persecuted during the Stalin years, their grandparents and so forth. And so they were allowed to come to the United States as refugees somewhere in the 90s, and they made it here, my wife and her family, like in 2001, I think it was. But yeah, that was like the last window they could finally come.
Wow. Well, praise the Lord that they got out of there. Well, Patrick, thank you for calling in and sharing that. And thanks for listening today to Real Truth for Today. And it's a great privilege for me to host and to get to talk to you each morning. So Pastor Jeff Shreve here from Texarkana, Texas. Go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and know that God will use you as his witness as you step up to the plate. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.